why is this even such a hot topic now? I mean,
Yeah.
was it never spoken about before? Maybe it's always been a hot topic.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's always been a topic in the background. I think over recent years, it's become more mainstream, which is great. More and more people are talking about it, and the evidence, I think, over recent years has really developed. The data now and the figures that are coming out about performance, about getting the best performance from your workforce, about looking after your people, about the benefits of well-being at work, really are starting to be far more mainstream. I think the other thing that's changed quite a lot in recent years is our working life. Gone are the days like my dad, who used to go into the office at 9 o'clock in the morning and leave at 5 o'clock in the evening, and that was it, and work was finished. But as we all know, work is not like that anymore. It's a 24/7 environment, and the importance of well-being at work now is really at the top of the agenda.
Well-being at work, what does it even entail? I mean, it's such a widespread topic, I would say. Yeah.
It's a big subject, yeah. I mean, there's many layers to that. Well-being is a state of being. It's when we're at our best. It's when we're thriving. It's when we're in flow. It's when we're performing at our best. So, what can we do as organizations and as leaders to really get our people into that state? So, looking after our mental health, providing great purpose-driven work, providing an environment and a culture where people can thrive. These are all of the elements, and many more. We want diverse, inclusive workplaces where people can be themselves. All of these elements come under the umbrella of well-being at work, and if organizations and then leaders can get all of these elements right, then we have a thriving team.
How did you personally even become involved in all of this? What's your background?
So I was working in events for about 20 years, and organizing events around the world. It was actually my partner's condition. He has anxiety, depression, and subsequently had a pretty poor experience at work, and was not supported, was working in a toxic culture, and performance levels went down, and his health went down, it motivated me really to step back and say, do we really want workplaces that make us sick? Because if we continue in this way, it's not going to be good for society. It's not going to be good for individuals. I quit my corporate role, went out on my own, and started in the UK by getting leaders together to really try to educate and to inspire the reasons why we should, as organizations and as leaders, really look after our people. And back then, it was quite a challenge, to be honest, to get organizations to really think like this. And the evidence was limited. But now we're starting to see that change. Obviously, the pandemic had a major effect on that as well. But it's great to see that that conversation now has really developed, and the evidence, as I say, it is really strong. We're starting to see some great progress around the world.
When you say partner, that was business partner, private partner, partner in life.
Private, yeah, life partner. So
And
I saw what happened at home, and it was really really important for me to try and make a change.
you don't have a psychological background in that aspect. Like it was personal interest, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not claiming to be an expert in psychological safety. We are in the background creating a forum where we bring those experts together and share their expertise with the communities that we serve.
How do you want to improve work life well-being at work?
Every organization has their own challenges and their own unique experience and workforce. So, if you're a manufacturing organization, primarily manufacturing, then you will have your own challenges. And they'll be different to a mainly office-based organization. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. We don't preach that this is how you have to do it, but it's about placing it at the heart of what you're doing. Many websites, as you've probably seen, George, say people are our most important asset, and what I want organizations to do is actually live and breathe that, because there are some pretty toxic cultures out there, and there are pretty bad working practices. And if we as a business community can really shift that and make work a thriving place to be, where people can be their best selves, then we're going to live in a much better world, and organizations will make a lot more money because of
That would have been a question. You took the last question away already, but never mind.
it.
I actually wrote down for myself on my way here. I came by public transport today, and I wrote down some questions, and I tried to trace back and think back how I was brought up, what I heard from my parents and environment concerning work and life. And of course, there were always complaints, right? Like about work, that's the first thing you would complain about when in the evening, but over dinner or over lunch even. And I was wondering, when did it become such a hot topic in a way that it's not just spoken about at lunch table or dinner table at home, but rather in a broader public? Was it maybe ignored for too long until like there was an explosion in a way?
Yeah, I think it was ignored, and I think the seriousness of the conditions has grown significantly. We've gone from we all have bad days where we come home and sit over the dinner table and say it was a really bad day today, but tomorrow's another day. That's one level. I think what we've seen. The levels of stress, the levels of burnout, and unfortunately, the levels of suicide through the stress of work and levels of poor mental health and burnout has exploded in recent years. And so we've got to take a stand. We've got to do something about it. We cannot continue on this journey, because it's just going to get worse and worse. So we have to interject and make the workplace a better place to be for people, because otherwise they're going to start to walk. And we saw that if they're in a really poor culture, if they're not getting great work, if they're not enjoying their work, they will vote with their feet and they will leave. And we saw that, and we're continuing to see that. And organizations, I think, are waking up to that.
We often hear about big corporate that it's a problem right there, and I would claim, or I would say that from my own experience and observation, I would see that also in small and medium enterprises, or also in public administration, like states run administration offices, anywhere, honestly. Where and when do you see it, the problem?
In all organizations, in all sized organizations, there are some amazing large corporates who are doing some incredible work and really helping their employees to thrive. Likewise, there are large corporates that are not, and the same goes for any size organization. I think it's probably slightly easier for smaller organizations to create that culture because it's more nimble. I think, but there's certainly, I've worked for one or two small companies in the past in my previous life that certainly had a pretty toxic culture. I see it across the board, and I think it really boils down to leadership. If leadership want to create an open, thriving culture, then it's down to them. Certainly in those small to medium-sized organizations.
So, would you say leaders are your primary target and HR reps?
Yeah, it tends to fall. I mean, I believe well-being at work is everyone's responsibility, everyone within the organization. Obviously, leadership play a huge role in that, and it tends to fall within the HR teams and HR leadership. But I think everyone has a part to play in this, we need to educate as many people as possible. But obviously, it comes from the it stems from the top, and leaders are in a position to make those changes much quicker.
A term that I recently stumbled upon was employer branding. Maybe that's another hype that we have to endure. I'm not sure. There should have always been something like that, but now it's like a big topic here in Switzerland, I'm sure globally, that employers have to sell themselves rather just than just the employees having to market themselves. What does your topic have to do with that? A lot, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the employer branding, employee experience. It's again, it plays a key role in this. If we take a step back, when I used to interview for jobs 20 years ago, it was, how much are you going to pay me? How many days holiday? These were the sort of questions that people were asking. If you speak to leaders now about what people are asking for in their interviews, it's very, very different. It's what is the culture? How do you support your employees? What is the flexibility around this role? So the conversation and the shift has happened, and I think organizations and leaders have picked that up and are now really working hard to create a great employee experience. And this doesn't have to be, huge levels of investment. It's some really simple things where people can be themselves at work. They feel valued. They get thanked when they do a great job. These are all free. It's a mindset shift that if we as leaders can adopt these new ways of thinking and new ways of working, having more emotional intelligence within the workplace and creating great cultures, then people will stay. They'll tell everyone how good it is to work there, and you won't have that talent drain that we've seen over the last couple of years.
So that would have again been one of my next questions. What are the needs of the employees? What do you observe? Is it maybe we are already over that stage, but like I'm thinking Google, like a playground at work or something, or make your whole office experience something between a living room, a barista bar, and I don't know, like an office. What do you observe? What do the employees specify as their needs? Is it fun factor? Is it well-being, like cozy feeling?
Yeah, look, those things that you've listed, yoga and all of those things that they play a part, but ultimately it's about the culture. If you've got a toxic boss, who treats you really poorly, it doesn't matter how many football tables you have or yoga sessions you have throughout the week. That is going to play on your mental health, and that is not a great environment to work in, and it's certainly not going to get the best out of that person. So, if you want your workforce thriving, I think, you know, having that much wider culture that is more welcoming and open, having that leadership training, having those line manager trainings, so everyone gets treated fairly. You know, we can be ourselves at work. Yes, there'll be times when we work hard. This is not about sitting back and doing yoga all day and not working hard. Of course, we have deadlines to meet. We have targets to meet. We've got to work hard. But it's
Maybe
how.
inspiration will come
Yeah,
that way.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. But you know, that's not going to change. Working hard and actually working hard with a purpose is really good for us. It's really good for our
Purpose.
mental health.
Purpose is something I hear more and more. Like, I
Yeah.
have to see the sense in what I'm doing.
Of course, and that's what employees are looking for. That's what they're asking for. If you look at all of the Gallup studies of what employees are looking for, that's high on their agenda. So, you know, what does this organization do for wider society? What you know, where does it sit? And these are sort of the things that are now being asked for. Yes, of course, a yoga class and fitness and all of those things, fruit on Fridays, you know, they're not gonna shift the dial that far. They're an important part, but we're not talking about adding fun to work, although that has its part to play. I think it's a much deeper thing around culture.
So if you trace back your own story or your partner's story, where would you spot the root of evil? Was it a toxic boss, for instance, or was it just too much workload and not enough time?
It was definitely a toxic boss. So I'm not going to name any mention names, but yeah, a toxic environment that was led by a toxic boss, and because his behavior was, you know, he was the CEO, and his behavior was poor, that stemmed down to all of the line managers to say, you know, this is okay to behave like this. So then. That rotting behavior just went right the way through the organization.
Oh, so it could also be the co-workers that then start bullying, mobbing.
Yeah, of course. And it just stems right the way through the organization. And that's where the culture piece comes in. So yeah, that was his experience, and you know, it wasn't healthy, made him very sick. And now, if you look at 10 years later, working in a really, really fantastic environment, doing amazing work, delivering amazing results, you can see how by putting someone in the right environment, they can really deliver for you.
So, in your eyes, how could companies and organizations profit if they would follow strategies leading to well-being at work? Do you see that on the figures then in the end?
Yeah, absolutely.
Performance numbers?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's lots of data around, lots of stats. Roughly, you're looking at up to 20% improvement against your competitors who are not focused on well-being.
Revenue? Do we talk revenue there or?
There's revenue, there's stock market value, there is, and then you can go into the detail like absenteeism, presenteeism, all of the costs that might not be direct, but you can see the attrition rates as well. So lots of organizations I've spoken to recently, with their focus on well-being, their attrition rates have really reduced. So yeah, there's lots of great numbers to go alongside this. This is not a fluffy subject that doesn't deliver on business performance.
Thanks for your time. It's almost 10 o'clock now, and
Well, yeah, thank you so much, George. Really appreciate it.